In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Let's continue our comments on the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 12. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? As you had seen last time, the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, faced many problems with the Herodians, with the Pharisees, with the Sadducees, and he answered them very well. So one of the scribes came asking him another question, trying to put him in another problem. This group of scribes were always busy with the literal meaning of the law, and they were always having problem with the idea of which is the commandment considered to be the most important or the first commandment. Which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. This man came asking him about the first commandment, but actually the Lord answered with two commandments. And if these two commandments are very much related to each other, and they together considered to be the first commandment or the first priority in obeying God. And these two commandments are related to the word love. Love God and love people. Love God from all your heart, your strength, your mind, your soul, and love people as exactly as you loving yourself. So he is putting love in the first commandment. So love is the main sign of being Christian. Being man of God, you should live in love. All your time, all your mind is busy with the love of God and the love of man. And also the Lord started as exactly as written in the Old Testament. O Israel, hear. The Lord our God is one. So before telling us love God, he was mentioning the truth. There is only one God. And this God is our God, and this God is love. So we are supposed to love him from all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Also, by telling God that this love should come from all our heart, heart may stand for the emotions, but the mind stands for the thinking. So we should love our God with our heart, but also thinking in him, how to please him, how to obey his commandments, how to keep his word in our hearts. With the strength also, this means that we love God by our physical body. We labor for him. We go to work for his commandments. We serve him by all our life. Then the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So loving the neighbor is the extension of loving God. We cannot love God and hate people, and we cannot love people honestly without the love of God. Being man of God, you should love God from all your heart, and consequently you will love everyone living around. There is no other commandment greater than this. By saying so, the commandment of fasting, the commandment of giving whatever offering, the commandment of going here and there, the commandment of praying even, are coming after this commandment of love. So let's consider all with the commandment of love at the first priority in our worshiping God. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He." You know, in the Gospel of St. Luke, this man asked the Lord another question, "Who is my neighbor?" And by this question, the Lord started the parable of the Good Samaritan to show him that the neighbor is not exactly the neighbor or the relative you have, but anyone you meet anywhere, anytime, he is your neighbor. So go and love every man you meet anytime, anywhere. Again, the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher." So this scribe was honest because he approved what the Lord said. He was happy with the answer. He felt this commandment of love goes with his beliefs. "You have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." So this man said the truth in his words, that this kind of love God from all the being of a human man, and also loving others with the same level of loving ourselves, is much more important than doing any offering or praying or sacrifices. Now, when Jesus saw that, he answered wisely. This man was a good one. So he answered the Lord wisely. He did not come at the previous ones to put him in troubles or to catch him in words. Actually, he came to ask for himself to know the truth, and this answer was satisfying to him. So the Lord encouraged him, saying, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." So if we know this truth, if we believe in love, if we follow this commandment, if we focus on loving God and loving people, now we are not far from the kingdom. Because sometimes we are very far from the kingdom of heaven. By focusing on many acts in our religious matters or in our business in life, but away from the commandment of love. But after that, no one dared question him. You know, after this many questions, no one could come again with more questions. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple. Now the Lord started himself in the temple to question, "How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. Why the Lord asked such a question? Because people were not clear in understanding his nature. Who is this Messiah? Who is this prophet? Is he just a prophet like Moses, Elijah, or others? He is more than them. He is doing everything good. He is doing miracles daily. He never sinned. So what exactly is he? So he answered from the scriptures, saying, remember David in one of his psalms said that the Lord said to my Lord. And in their commentaries on this psalm, as Jews, they believe that the Lord, the first one, is the Father, said to my Lord is the Son, is the Messiah. So in the psalm, they consider the Messiah, Christ, is the Lord. And also in other scriptures, they all believe that the Messiah or Christ will be the son of David. So he put the two ideas together. How could he be the son of David and on the same time he is the Lord? How could he be just a man like a son of David and on the same minute he is God and the Father God? So the answer easily is this is Christ, full God and full man in one person. Our Lord Christ is not only a man, but also real God and the only God, the Son of God. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Again, in commenting on this verse, you know, the Father God have no right and left because he is unlimited. But putting the idea in this simplified text that he is like a king, and usually the son of the king, the only son, will sit on his right hand, showing everyone that his authority is as equal as the authority of his father. His throne is the extension of the throne of his father. So he is God like his father as God. Light of light, true God of true God. Till I make your enemies your footstool. So this is the end of the days, that all enemies, all devil, all people who followed evil and rejected the truth of Christ as God and Savior, they will, you know, be like enemies, and they will at his footstool. Therefore David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? And if the people, the simple people listening to him, they enjoyed understanding the truth, now they could catch the truth. He is not only a man, he is much more than a man. He is also God. So they accepted the truth gladly. They were hearing him gladly. Then he said to them in his teaching, beware of the scribes. Although we had a good scribe recently, the one who came asking him about the first commandment, but generally he said, beware of the scribe who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogue, in the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, this will receive greater condemnation. So the Lord was warning the people against the attitude of scribes, because people believed very much in these people, in these scribes. They believe these are the men of God, these are the religious men, because their appearance from outside, wearing long robes and loving greetings in the marketplaces, always sitting or standing in the first places before the eyes of everyone. Moreover, they were widows' houses, and if they pray for a long time, actually, they just pray so people can say them and comment on their long prayers. So they were not honest in loving God. He was just mentioning that the first commandment is love. These scribes do not love God, and also they do not love anyone. They just love the glory of this earth, the richness of this earth. They love to be the first. They are proud of themselves, so they are not men of God. This will receive greater condemnation. So it's a warning for all of us. Please don't go in this eccentric way of being religious. Be a real man of God by loving God and loving people. Don't stick to the appearance of religious people from outside try to have the pure heart of a religious man, the heart who is full of love to God and to all people. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. You know, in the temple of Solomon, in this generation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there were a place for the treasury. You know, people were coming to put their money inside this. So Jesus sat opposite this place so he can see how people is putting their offering, and the disciples were around him. And so how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. How could they know how much they put? Usually from the coins, the voices of the coins, or the picture from outside of whatever they put in the treasury, so people can, you know, think how much these people put. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites. So people could see, and the Lord saw, that this widow came with 2 very little coins, the 2 mites. And these 2 mites, you know, worth nothing. They rather may buy just one bread, and this cannot cover the hunger of this widow, or if she had any children, they cannot eat with these 2 mites, which make a quadrans. So the value of these 2 mites is just a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." So the Lord, for the first time, for us at least, he was sitting at this place to see this woman and to comment on her attitude. He was telling us that we should love from all our heart. And now this is a pure example of this. This poor widow loved God from all her heart. And because of her love, she is giving all what she has to God with real pure heart, full of faith, full of hope, full of love. That's why the Lord brought his disciples and pointed at this widow and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." By saying she put more than anyone, this means that the value of whatever you give to God is very much different from the value people consider. It's not the value of the money as any accountant could count it, but you know, it's the value of the offering from your heart. It's very much related to the level of faith. How much you believe in God, how much you are giving out of the sum of the whole money you have, how much love behind or beyond this offering, how much hope in giving all what you have to God. So this is the value, the exact value of any money giving to the church is very much different from the number of coins or the value of money as counted by people. I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. So for those who are giving what they do not need is very much different from this widow who gave what she really needs. She, out of her poverty, put in all that she had. She put all. So this is another point that usually we used to put in the treasury of the church, just what part of what we have, But this woman gave all her whole livelihood. So when we comment on the virtue of giving, being gracious in giving, consider this widow as an icon before your eyes. This widow had no husband to, you know, to cover her needs. And she had no savings in the bank. And she might not have any work to cover her expenses. But although she had nothing but this two mites, she gave it all to God, as if she is saying to God, "You are my father, you are my husband, you are mine, I'm yours. Just cover my needs. I am giving you all what I have, and you are giving yourself to me." So by doing this, this represents how much love she had in her heart and how much faith she had in her heart. So always consider that the poor might have stronger faith and stronger love to God much more than the rich people. And these rich people may give out of their abundance. And this is not very much considered before the eyes of God, but the considered ones are the poor who are giving out of their needs. Again, we will continue with the Gospel of St. Mark. Glory to God. Amen.